Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor Terry Thorne delivers the message entitled, Interruptions, Opportunities for Grace and Growth. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Our first scripture lesson today comes from Psalm 33, verses 1 through 12. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He put the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
I was just thinking about all the different ways God has been praised already, the different types of music and sounds and prayers. And let us continue that as we hear today's gospel reading from the book of Matthew, starting chapter 9, starting with verse 9 through 13, and then skipping ahead for 18 through 26. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collection station, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hands on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly, a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and, seeing her, said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took her hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread through all of that district. This too is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, we do give you thanks for your word and how it speaks to us new and afresh every time we enter it. We pray that as we are in this time of worship, that your Holy Spirit would be among us, opening our eyes to see you in a new way and see your truth in a new way, and opening our ears to hear the stories in a way that challenges us, and open our lives to be willing to be transformed and follow you, as did Matthew. Lord, we pray that everything that is said and sung and read and done in this worship service would bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. How you respond to an interruption is who you actually are. Now, I cannot vouch for the authenticity of this quote, but it's been attributed to C.S. Lewis. It is, however, one of those ouch kind of sayings that makes many of us squirm. How we respond when we are interrupted conveys a truth about our character. Being forced to pivot from our plans to respond to someone else's requests or demands brings out our true self. Well, let me just say this. If this is true, I sure hope that those of us who live in central Indiana get a special dispensation from it, or at least an extra measure of grace. Maybe it's just me, but all of these road closures and detours are interruptions that do not bring out my best self. Now, I'm only half joking, because you need to remember, I live in Broad Ripple, which is bounded by Keystone with construction on the River Bridge, Broad Ripple Avenue, which is closed from Guilford to College. And today I noticed as I was coming to work, as I do every day on College, that it's about to be closed starting at 52nd Street next week. Now, I could take Meridian unless I need to go north because it's down to one lane at 86th Street, or if I need to go south because it's closed at 38th Street. And if anybody's wondering, Westfield is just closed from 86th North. So basically, the entire Google map of Indianapolis is filled with construction cones. No doubt about it, interruptions, even small ones, can be frustrating. They force us off our routes. They break our concentration or derail our train of thought. They cause us to have to lay things aside without certainty of when or how we will get back to them. They can be wearying and even devastating at times. Life is filled with interruptions, often arriving out of the blue, or in some cases, knocking us off our feet and laying us flat on our backs, uncertain when things will return to normal. And actually, it may be that waiting to get back on track that is implicit in interruption that we don't really handle very well. Again, think about that unexpected miles-long traffic jam when you are trying to get somewhere at a specific time. In her book, A Spacious Life, Ashley Hales says this about waiting. Waiting, or I might add interruption, reminds us that although we have agency, we are not ultimately in control. For those of us who find value in achieving, working hard, and crossing tasks off our to-do list, waiting or interruption can push us into a tailspin as it unhooks the linchpin between who we are and what we do. When we are forced to wait or we get interrupted, we must reckon with the deep questions of identity. Who am I when I'm not productive? Who are we when we get interrupted? Interruptions are just a part of life. In fact, according to C.S. Lewis, they are life. Now, this is a citable quote of C.S. Lewis. He writes, "The great thing, if one can, is to stop regarding all the unpleasant things as interruption of one's own or real life. The truth is, of course, that what one calls interruptions are precisely one's real life. The life God is sending one day by day." So how do we learn to live into our interrupted life well? How do we overcome the frustrations and fears that the disruptions can bring? How do we manage our expectations, or better yet, our impatience when our plans are thwarted, or when our work is interrupted, and when we're forced to wait, when we aren't sure when or even if we'll get back to normal again? Well, there isn't a magic formula or an easy answer, but today's very relatable gospel reading certainly provides insight and hope. It is, after all, a series of interruptions, back to back to back. First, Jesus interrupts Matthew's comfortable life with this beckoning call, "Follow me," which radically changes Matthew's plans and subsequently his lifestyle. Then the Pharisees interrupt the meal that Jesus and Matthew are having with the disciples whom he's just joined. Next, the ruler, whose life has been interrupted with the deepest grief possible, that of a parent who has lost their child, interrupts Jesus' teaching moment as he's replying to the Pharisees' interruption of the meal. Then, suddenly, the woman with bleeding issues, which have interrupted her life socially, emotionally, physically, and presumably reproductively for the past 12 years, interrupts Jesus' response to the ruler's interruption of his response to the Pharisees' interruption of the meal, which is at the home of the recently interrupted and called Matthew. Now, once Jesus responded to the woman's interruption, he then proceeds to his original destination to be with the daughter of the ruler, where he is interrupted by the flute players and professional mournings, to whom his blunt and very human response was, "Get out!" Yeah, this story speaks my language. Anybody else besides me feel your heart racing just a little bit thinking about how you would respond to all those interruptions in a week like what Jesus was having? Yeah. Many of us can identify. We know the feeling of competing interruptions. There's work and family and friends and community and church life and neighbors. And we understand the demand that all of these interruptions can place on our lives. Yet we also see that each and every interruption in this story is significant, except maybe the flute players, and each demands a response from the one being interrupted. When Jesus approached Matthew, Matthew couldn't pretend as if he didn't hear Jesus. He had to make a choice, follow or not. Respond to Jesus calling him into a different life or not? Interruptions sometimes require an immediate decision from us. Address it or not? And miss possibly the opportunity that's embedded within that interruption. And when Jesus heard the Pharisees' criticism, he chose not to miss that opportunity to speak truth to power. And Jesus could not become deaf to the cry of the ruler's broken heart, much less ignore the man's courage and hope when he beckoned Jesus to come revive his daughter. And while it may have very well been legally and socially appropriate for Jesus to ignore the woman's touch of his garment, he could not, he would not ignore her faith. You see, Jesus' compassion, his mercy, his righteousness, his sense of justice, his love, that is all at the core of who he was, who he is. That is God incarnate. And who he is would not allow him to ignore the interruptions. Jesus understood that the interruptions were not interruptions to his ministry. They were his ministry. I wonder, how would our own responses to interruptions be different if we could begin to see them that way as well? It's the way Henry Nouwen came to understand them. He said, "My whole life I've been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions were my work." How might that perspective change us, how we view ourselves, and how we view our interrupters differently? Now, friends, I just need to say this candidly and clearly. I am not preaching to the choir today, because actually they're not there. I'm not really even preaching to the congregation today. Today I'm preaching to the preacher, with hope that you all will hear a word of truth for yourself. For nearly all of us, interruptions are life. For followers of Christ, interruptions are ministry. Opportunities for grace and growth. And you know, church, sometimes we're the ones being interrupted. But sometimes we're the ones doing the interrupting. All the time, God is in the interruption. And therefore, so is Christ's love and compassion, which also should be evident in our response. And that's where this incredibly relatable story from Jesus' ministry is so helpful. Because he demonstrates ways to ensure that our response to interruptions in our own lives and in the life of our faith community, to ensure that it reveals who we are, and that is followers of Jesus Christ. So our first response to an interruption, I believe, should be to wonder, what is God asking of me in this moment? What am I to learn from this interruption? Is God intentionally interrupting me or us, the church, as he did Matthew, in order to lead us to a different place or a different way of being or to inspire us toward something new to create or do? And right on the heels of that should be also, like Matthew, that we would lean into that interruption with the utmost faith. Not necessarily knowing how or when or what is next, but trusting that Christ himself will lead us where we need to go and provide all we need to get there. That is, in fact, the faith of a disciple. At times, though, let's face it, the meaning or the purpose of the interruption is not as immediately clear. It doesn't present as a two-word call from Jesus, "Follow me." But instead, it's a long-haul, frustrating interruption to one's life. It's a 12-year bleeding with no cure kind of interruption to our life. A medical condition for which we cannot find a diagnosis or a cure. Or a grief that just will not ease. Or those, "I've spent everything I have and know to try to find the answer or fix the brokenness" kind of interruption that causes us to draw on a deep well of faith as we wait, a wellspring for which Christ is the only source. Now let me caveat something for you. Some interruptions of life are without purpose or life lesson because they're not from God. Nonetheless, God is present in them, and our response should still reflect Christ. Now, allow me to elaborate what I mean by this. The life and the livelihood of the woman in this story was surely interrupted by the enforcement of purity and cleanliness laws, which pushed her to the margins of society, limiting her interactions and her ability to be part of the social structure. Let's make no mistake, marginalization like this has never been, will never be, God's plan for any of his people. That social interruption was an injustice that eventually drove her to risk everything, to ignore the naysayers and the law, to reach out for healing in the touch of Jesus' garment. Now, quite frankly, most of us in this room have not experienced that kind of injustice. But our brothers and sisters of color most assuredly have. They can tell you of the interruption to the lives of their ancestors who were forced into slavery. They also know the disruptive effects of Jim Crow laws and decades of discrimination and redlining and other unjust systems that have pushed them toward the margins of society. They know the all-too-long interruption of racism that has not only required them to draw from the deep well of faith and to reach for the hem of justice found in Jesus' garment, but also compels God's people to work toward making that injustice and others like it right. That's what a Christ-like response looks like. Jesus ended the physical interruption of the woman when he healed her. He ended the social interruption and righted the injustice when he called her daughter and made her his own. Every single time that Jesus was interrupted in this story, he responded from who he truly was. He understood his purpose within God's plan. He spoke truth, always and especially to power, about God's unconditional love and unending mercy. He healed brokenness. He restored hope. He remained focused on his ministry in the midst of every interruption. He showed compassion and grace. And he offered new life to Matthew, to the woman, to the ruler, and to the ruler's daughter. 8 weeks from today, we, the Tab family, will experience the beginning of our own interruption with the retirement of our senior pastor, John Gable. The way we respond to it will reveal who we really are. Most assuredly, God will be present in the interruption. As followers of Christ, his love must be evident in our response. So let it be our prayer that together we will learn from all the folks in this story, both the interrupted and the interrupters, that we will be like Matthew to discover what God is asking of us moving forward. And like the Pharisees, to hear the truths we are meant to hear. And like the ruler, to seek God in our grief, and there will be grief. And to trust that all will be well. Like the woman, to take risks and have faith that Christ will respond to our need. Most of all, that we will respond like Christ, focused on our ministries in which we demonstrate his love and his mercy in ways that will heal brokenness, restore hope, show compassion, seek justice, offer grace, and transform lives. Friends, may it be so in all the interruptions that we individually and as a congregation will face now and to come. Amen. Let us pray. God, we are grateful that you are a God of interruptions and that you are patient with us when we are frustrated by them. We pray that as we, as a congregation, that we would know that there is nothing that interrupts your plan, that there is nothing that disturbs your will for this church if we only focus on Christ this and every day. In his name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on your favorite podcast app or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
What good is faith?
Pastor John Gable of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis.
Faith in God is a wonderful gift. At TAB, we desire to be a resource for those who want to grow deep and strong in their relationship with God through teaching, worship, and prayer. But we also know that faith does no one any good if it doesn't help them to become more Christ-like by engaging and serving our neighbors, the community, and the world. TAB has a long history of putting hands and feet to faith through active service and ministry, just as Jesus did. If you'd like to learn more about having an active faith, stop on by or visit us at tabpres.org.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.